Good morning. My name is Florence Peters, and I'm a member of River Church Slough. And I would just love to share this morning with you what is on my heart. But before we do that, I know we have had a long period of uncertainty, and we are not out of it yet. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." We are not in despair. We have the joy of the Lord in us. Jesus said, "I have spoken unto you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full." My question, how often do you laugh? Doctors say laughter has incredible healing effect on your body. It also has incredible healing effect on your mind and soul. Shared laughter gives us strength in adversity. So here's a feeble attempt to make you laugh. This woman said, "My husband purchased a world map and gave me a dart and said, 'Throw this dart and wherever it lands, that's where I'm going to take you after the pandemic.' Turns out we are spending 2 weeks behind the fridge." A leader in a Christian science church was talking to a member of his congregation and asked, "How's your husband today?" "I'm afraid he's very ill," she said. "No, no," corrected the leader. "You really shouldn't say that. You should say that he is under the impression that he is ill." The woman nodded in agreement and said, "I will remember that next time." A few weeks later, the leader saw the woman again and asked, "How's your husband at the moment?" She thought for a moment and then said, "Well, he is under the impression that he's dead." I hope that gave you a chuckle. Now, today's topic I'm going to talk about is, who do you think you are? Well, you are special, no confusion, you are unique. It is so much on my heart to share this with you. In this age where the enemy is at work to cause confusion about who people are, there is gender confusion, sexual confusion, dress confusion. If Satan can mess up with our identity, then he has succeeded in messing up your whole life in the name of progress and political correctness. We are living in times when they call light darkness and darkness light. But thank God that those whose minds have been renewed by the Holy Spirit cannot be fooled by Satan. And God is able and willing to set all people free from this deception as they come into the light of Christ. But listen to this. This is how God created you. You started as a single cell. And within that cell, there is enough DNA to hold 1,000 volumes of coded blueprint. In that DNA, just one cell determine the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the shape of your nose, and the size of your ring finger. I'm sure you all know that nobody else has your fingerprints, the same sparkling eyes, the same laugh, or looks at things the same way as you do. You are an original, and you didn't happen by accident. God designed your DNA. He made you the way he wanted you to be. He gave you your voice, your smile, your freckles, your curly or straight hair, all those things that make you who you are. And because God made you, you are special to him and to others. In fact, the world would not be complete without you. No wonder the psalmist says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So don't let anyone tell you that you are an accident, that you are a mistake. God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. You are unique in all the world, and that makes you very, very special. God was never confused about your gender, your sexuality, your nationality, your race, your color, or your individuality. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So if God wanted to change anything about you, He would have done it before he formed you in your mother's womb. So let's not listen to the lies of the enemy, who would confuse us about who we are. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You don't decide who you are or who you are. You are what God created you to be. This is your identity. Love it, live in it, enjoy it, be proud of it, and be thankful to God for it. Another part of your identity is to accept yourself as God accepts you. Accept means to agree with. Acceptance involves our will. So if we are having a problem accepting ourselves, then we need to get into agreement with God's word, which says God loves you and accepts you as his child. When God made us, he said it was very good. And he has not changed his mind. Let's be patient. He's not through with his creative work in our lives. He wants us to see ourselves as he sees us. And let's learn to love ourselves while we are still under construction. We are not perfect yet, but we will be when he's finished with us. In Judges 6, we read the story of Gideon, son of Joash, threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites, who were very, very oppressive to Israelites. At this point, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Go and save Israel from the hands of Midianites." His response was, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." That was Gideon's estimation of himself. But God saw the potential in him. And as he accepted God's version of himself, he did become a mighty man of valor. He destroyed the altar of Baal and did save Israelites from the hands of Midianites. He realized that positive outcomes don't grow in negative soil. In God's hands, we are a force to reckon with. We are mighty. We are conquerors of our weaknesses and of our limitations and of our circumstances. So let's accept God's estimation of us. Let's walk in it, prosper in it, enjoy it, and use it to our full potential. Let's not be defined by other people's opinion of us. Sometimes we are judged by people according to our past lives. In Acts 22, verse 12, we read that when God told Ananias to go and pray for Saul, who was in Damascus at the time, after his powerful encounter with the Lord, Ananias' response was that Saul had been rounding up believers in Jesus for persecution and even execution. Ananias saw Paul, the Pharisee, a persecutor, but God saw Paul, the apostle and evangelist. We can sometimes view ourselves through the negative words that have been spoken over us by our teachers, parents, friends, family, etc. We look at our failures and shortcomings and don't feel good enough for God. But God sees us as new creation, not who we were, but who we are in Christ and who we are becoming through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is not finished with us yet. He's still growing us and refining us into the likeness of his perfect Son. We are not defined by other people's estimation, our mistakes or our past. Our mistakes were a learning curve and never a life sentence. We can only live like heaven is near when we ask God to free us from any negative or limiting thought patterns and live like the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Renewing of our mind means when we become the children of God, we receive God's DNA. We start to look like him, not physically, but in his nature and his character. This happens as the mind is renewed, which means our old thought patterns change. We receive the mind of Christ and we begin to think like Christ. God's thoughts become our thoughts. Those negative thoughts are replaced by positive thoughts. This is not just one-off thing. This is ongoing process. This has to happen on a daily basis as we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, because we cannot make it happen by ourselves. So let's be defined who we are by God, our Heavenly Father, and not by the opinions of those around us, unless those opinions match with God's opinion of us. Next, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Part of our identity is we are equipped to serve in His kingdom. When God calls us, He equips us for the task far beyond ourselves, far beyond our natural abilities, far beyond our imagination. If we can manage something with our own ability, our own strength, then perhaps it's just us and God has no part in it. It's perhaps a good idea, but not a God idea. When God calls you to do a job, He equips and empowers you. He goes ahead of you and provides everything you need. Now, Moses was happy in the company of sheep and goats. He thought that that was his lot. But God had far bigger plans for him, plans to stand before kings, powerful kings, fierce kings, to show them that there was a God who was far more powerful than them. But Moses concentrated on his shortcomings. But God's response was, I am sending you and I will be with you. And that is it. That's the bottom line. In all our ministry, in serving God, that without God's presence with us, we are flogging a dead horse. No matter how much time, effort, and finances we pour into our ministry, it would not be fruitful. On the surface, it may look successful, a large, beautiful building filled with rich, successful people. But the soul of the church is dead without God's presence. I'm thinking of a story about a large, sleek church. This disheveled, unwashed man attends the church service at a very posh church. At the end of the service, the church minister walks up to him and says, "When you come to my church next time, pray and ask God how you should dress." The man said, "Okay, I will ask God, I will pray." The following Sunday, he turns up just as before. Again, after the service, the minister approached him and said, "I asked you to pray and ask God how you should dress when you come to my church." The man said, "I did pray. I did ask God." But he replied, "I don't know. I've never been to that church." Moses learned through his walk with God and his dealings with Egyptians that without God's presence, he did not stand a chance against the weakest Egyptian, let alone a powerful king. And that is why we read in Exodus 33:15, Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Moses realized it is not our capability, but our availability and our reliance on God and His presence that we can accomplish things far beyond our own strength. And that is why God would give us tasks beyond human ability. He would stretch us to our full potential, and He would amaze us when we accomplish something we never thought we could. Well, Moses was able to accomplish the huge task God gave him. He led 2.4 million Israelites out of Egypt, the land of slavery. We, as children of God and walking in His identity, can fulfill our calling in God's kingdom. Whether you have been called to serve His people, preach, teach, evangelize, pastor a church, or other areas of God's kingdom, each one of us can accomplish God's plan and purposes when we live in His presence and invite His presence to go with us, because living in His presence is part of our identity. Next, we get our identity through our family connections. In TV program, Who Do You Think You Are? That's where I got the topic from for this morning. In some cases, these celebrities face embarrassment because they discover that their ancestors were criminals, jailbirds, immoral or violent people. If we go through our family history, we might in some cases find a similar history or even discover our aristocratic connections. Whatever the case, the good news is that when we accepted Jesus into our lives, we were immediately adopted into another family, the family of God. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it tells us, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now that we are adopted in the family of God, we don't have to face embarrassment because our family line has credentials we can be proud of. We can walk with our heads held up high. So let's look at our family. God the Father, holy, majestic, righteous, powerful, gracious, generous, loving, merciful, truthful, faithful, just, good, creator, eternal, unchangeable, therefore we can trust him, reliable, sovereign, never goes back on his promises, forgiving, our provider, our peace, and he's always available. Excellent credentials there, no embarrassment. Jesus the Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our Restorer, our Peace, our Friend, our Shepherd, our Righteousness, our Joy, our Big Brother, our Bridegroom, and so much more. He loved us so deeply that he was willing to leave his heavenly glory and come down to this sinful world, lived among sinful men, died at a gruesome death at the hands of sinful men with no concern for himself. He poured himself like water. He just gives and gives without any condition, loves endlessly. All this to free us from the grip of sin and death and shame and condemnation. On 29th of October, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit, that giving things or giving yourself is two different things. That is why in a marriage, you give everything you are and everything you have. Well, our bridegroom emptied himself of everything he was, everything he had, even to the point of death. If anyone can prove their love for their family, Jesus topped the score. Holy Spirit of God, our guide, our friend, leads us into all righteousness, our parakletos, which means one who walks alongside us. He leads us into the fullness of God. He encourages us to be holy like our Father and live a life that glorifies our Father in heaven. He prays for us. He prays through us. He keeps us connected with our heavenly family. His job description is endless. Being in this family, there is no embarrassment, no shame, only honor, acceptance, and love. Then God has also placed us here on earth in the church family. Here we are sharpened, rough edges smoothed out. We learn the truths that set us free. Here we find love, fellowship, grace, acceptance. Here we learn to grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Because in his family, God has placed teachers, preachers, prophets, evangelists, servant-hearted people. We are one body with many parts, all playing a role to help each other. Well, God looks after every aspect of our growth so we can become more and more like his Son. What an uplifting and honoring family connections we have. If this doesn't boost our identity, I don't know what will. Another aspect of our identity is that you are an overcomer. Faith and fear will always be at work in our life. To be an overcomer, we must learn to starve our fear and feed our faith on God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. Recently, I was quite challenged reading the summary of the book of James, which said, if you believe as you should, why do you behave as you shouldn't? Your faith is more than words. It is a vital walk that shows God has truly invaded your life. It breathes in unmistakable ways. What is true of biology is also true of faith. If it isn't growing, it's probably dead. When I read this, I felt admonished by James. As you know, he doesn't mince his words and goes for the jugular. Because softly, softly approach does not always work. Sometimes we need to be shaken by our shoulders to realize our inheritance in Christ, which only comes by faith. So our difficult circumstances and situations are training ground for reigning and in growing our faith, because not seeing and yet believing is real faith. We live by faith when we choose to live by what we hear from God rather than what we see in the world. It is in looking back that we realize why one of God's name is Redeemer. He can redeem everything we have been through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In difficult circumstances, God is teaching us a position as overcomers. Because in Him, we are not limited by our circumstances. We soar above our circumstances. We are eagles who fly far above our limitations. God is not limited by the enemy or his power. Moses told the Israelites, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The situations we face today are temporary. Without the desert, we cannot get into the promised land. And how does God deal with Satan's power? By increasing yours. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it is God's power in us that makes us overcomers, no matter what we are facing. You're not trapped. Your victory is ahead of you. You are overcomer, and that is your identity. Another aspect of your identity is that you're a giant slayer. Now, David faced a giant whose size was intimidating. He was over 9 foot tall. His battle armor was heavy and impressive. The words from his mouth were threatening. Saul and his army were terrified by the threats of this massive giant. David, on the other hand, was young, about 15, 16 years of age. He was of small stature. He had no protective battle wear, but he had a big attitude and huge confidence in his God. It has been said that it's not the size of the dog in a fight, but it is the size of the fight in a dog. David was certainly a man of huge fight in him. His attitude was, I have killed a lion and a bear with bare hands, and this uncircumcised Philistine must be like one of them. David was not deterred by the size of this giant or his threats. He knew his God was much bigger than any Goliath. David ran directly towards Goliath with confidence that his God would deliver him. Well, David killed this huge roaring giant with just one stone from his sling. Why? Because he knew who he was in God. He was confident of his identity, his conviction, courage, and that confidence that comes from his relationship and connection with God. What giants are you facing right now? If you want to conquer your giants, we have to face them head on. A problem we turn away from is still a problem. To be an overcomer, we have to face our battles like David did. God's word says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. So let's look at our giants. Is it a long-standing physical or mental health issue? Relationship struggles, fear about the future, financial uncertainty, fear of viruses, your children's safety in this broken world? We must persevere when life gets difficult. It's a fact of life that there is no gain without pain, no advancement without adversity, no progress without problems. As followers of Christ, we should never let problems defeat us. Instead, allow these problems to draw us closer to God. God allows specific situations in our lives to bring growth. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "You must know who you are. Take responsibility for our lives. Determine our priority. Persevere when life gets tough." The broken and weak places in our lives can become places where God's power and glory may shine. He holds us together, transforms us, and makes our weaknesses our strengths. In God, we can slay all our giants as we face them and defeat them in God's power and in His strength. In every crisis, cross is always our hope and our motivation. Bill Johnson said, "Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source." So God has called us to be victors, not victims, to grow, not grovel, to soar, not sink, to overcome, not be overwhelmed. That breakthrough, that promotion, that favor, that victorious life, that restoration in relationships, that return of prodigals, that salvation of our loved ones is all ahead of us, because we are overcomers and giant slayers through the power of God in us. Our identity is tied in with so much more in God's kingdom. We haven't even touched on 1 Peter 2:9, which says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." But that may be for another time. But for now, to sum up, you are special the way God has made you. Accept yourself as God accepts you. Do not be defined by other people's opinion of you. Our identity is tied in with the family we have been adopted into. We are equipped to serve God. You are an overcomer. You are a giant slayer. You can never be truly yourself until you find who you are in God and who God created you to be. God is your home and He is your identity. Thank you for your attention. God bless you. Someone once said, "When you deliver God's message, you are just a postman, postwoman, postperson. Some days people will like what you deliver. Other days they won't. But you have to deliver the post just the same." Now God bless you.